struggles only dragged the country deeper into the mess. Then came the Five Dynasties, later Liang, later Tang, later Jin, later Han, and later Zhou. Each one tried to claim the throne, but none could hold it for long. The fight for power was ruthless. Sons betrayed their fathers, brothers turned against each other, and trusted advisors stabbed their lords in the back. From Zhu Quanshong's brutal rise to Li Kengsu's tragic downfall, history seemed to repeat itself in a never-ending storm of ambition and blood. The South wasn't quiet either. As the North broke into pieces, 10 smaller kingdoms rose up in the South and West. Places like Wu, Southern Tang, Min, Chu, and the short-lived Western Shu. Some chose to fight. Others turned to culture and peace, but one by one, they were swept away by history, whether through war, betrayal, or simply bad luck. Just when it felt like everything was falling apart for good, a new figure stepped in, Zhao Quanjin. He didn't just talk big, he had the brains and strength to back it up. Slowly but surely, he brought the country back together and built the Song Dynasty. His path wasn't easy. He had to fight Northern Han, Southern Tang, and other holdouts. But his strategy and determination changed the course of Chinese history. In this world of ambition and betrayal, everyone was fighting for something, power, loyalty, or a vision of what China could be. And even though most of them didn't live to see it, their actions carved the path to a new era. When the dust finally settled, the Song Dynasty stood at the top, and a new chapter in history had begun. Chapter. Emperor Xiaosong's futile ambitions. In the previous book, we mentioned that in the first year of Wende, which was 888 AD, Emperor Xizong of Tang died. Prince Shao, named Li Jie, took the throne with the support of a group of eunuchs. At first, he changed his name to Li Min, and later he took on the name Li Yi. This was Emperor Zhao Zong of Tang. The leader of those eunuchs was Yang Fu Gong, who was the commander of the Shen's army. The reason he picked Zhao Zong was because he thought Zhao Zong would be easy to control, so Yang Fu Gong tried to put a puppet emperor on the throne. But things didn't play out as Yang Fu Gong had planned. Zhao Zong turned out to be an emperor with his own opinions. He loved reading books, really respected Confucian teachings, treated his ministers politely, and liked to bring in talented people. People back then said he reminded them of the past glory days during the Huchang period, and he had the same vibe as Emperor Wu Zong, who once brought the dynasty back to life. Zhao Zong could see clearly how tough things were for the Tang dynasty at the time. As Chancellor Zhang Jun put it, the court was being pushed around by eunuchs inside, and the military governors were holding too much power outside. So how could this mess be fixed? Zhang Jun told Zhao Zong that he should build up his own army so everyone would take him seriously, because only with soldiers could he really have a say. Zhao Zong agreed and started recruiting a lot of new soldiers in Chang'an, building up a private force of about 100,000 men. Now, with such a big and loyal army, could the emperor finally get things under control? Well, it wasn't that simple. The leader of the eunuchs, Yang Fu Gong, still had the imperial guards in his hands, and because he was the one who helped Zhao Zong become the emperor, his power was massive, and he didn't really respect Zhao Zong at all. One day, Emperor Xiaosong was discussing with his chancellors which of the regional warlords around the country might harbor intentions of rebellion. Chancellor Kong Wei remarked, "Your Majesty, even among those close to you there are those with suspicious intentions. How much more so in the far-flung regions?" The emperor then asked whom he meant. Kong Wei